I'll never forget the first time we decided as a family that we were going to cut down our own Christmas tree. How many of you have done that before, tried to cut down your own Christmas tree? I'm not talking about in your backyard where you have to get the HOA to approve it. We went to a Christmas tree farm, right? We did it the legal way, and we had this great, this grand plan. You know, it was a couple years ago. It was when we were a family of four, and our kids, I believe, were like 4 years old and 2 years old, so you kind of get the picture. And in the middle of this season, you got to know, this was one of the most crazy Christmas seasons for us schedule-wise. Maybe you're in the middle of the crazy Christmas schedule. We literally had something every single day. And so we're looking at the schedule, and I think it was like well into December, you know? This is like maybe the second week of December, and we realized we did not have a Christmas tree. And so the stakes are high, you know? We got to get it done. We had one day to get our Christmas tree done, and so we had to get the perfect tree, right? So anyway, the only problem was this had to be probably the coldest day of the year, even colder than today. It was frigid cold. And the wind was howling that day. And Mandy and I had been working all day. It was during the week, a day during the week. And our kids were exhausted, right? They all were in desperate need of a nap. But yet, this was the one day we had. And so I said, okay, let's make the Christmas memories. Let's make Mama proud. Let's do what she wants us to do, right? Let's go cut down our Christmas tree, which means me laying down on the frigid ground, sawing this thing down, right? So anyway, we didn't want to miss making a Christmas memory. So we went. So we get to this Christmas tree farm, and it's like 30, 45 minutes away. Everybody's exhausted, but, you know, here we go. We're all bundled up in our coats, and we come to find out the parking lot is not close to where all the trees are. So, of course, you know, it was kind of fun if it was warmer, but a tractor comes and has to actually take you to the place where you can actually cut down a Christmas tree. So we rode on this tractor, and my kids are, you know, shivering. This, and I'm cold, Daddy. You know, so I'm having to, like, you know, kind of bury them in my arms. And we get to this place where the Christmas trees are, and the tractor stops, and we get out, and the tractor starts back up, and he starts going. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing, right? And he's like, oh, I'll be back in about 30 to 45 minutes. I'll give you enough time to get a tree, and then I'll drop back, and I'll get your tree and get you. Okay, great. We'll do that. And so right there where he dropped us off were these very rusted out hand saws. No chainsaws, right? That's I wanted to get my chainsaw on in that moment. But they wanted the men in the room to prove their manliness. And so they gave us a rusted out handsaw. And so I took the handsaw, and trying to be the big, proud, you know, strong dad that I try to be, you know, I said, all right, kids, let's go get us a Christmas tree, right? Holding the handsaw in my hand. And I start walking in the direction of what I think Mama's going to like, you know. I start going for the trees that look like, you know, that are not crazy priced, but that she's still going to like, you know. And so I go to this area, and I'm like, oh, this looks good, this looks good. Hey, I think I found a few options. Look at it right here. And I turned back, and I realized that nobody was with me. I was all by myself, you know? And I was like, where is everybody? And everybody had only made it about a few steps from where the tractor dropped us off, and everybody looked like they were in a bad mood. And so I kind of did the whole circle back thing. Hey, what's wrong, guys? And the kids were all crying. They're shivering. You know, they had their, you know, those scenes with jackets when you can't move? This is kind of how they were. And they're crying, and I'm like, what's wrong? And they're like, Daddy, I'm cold. Daddy, I'm tired. I need somebody to hold me. I was like, well, we only got two somebodies, and we got two other somebodies that need to be held. And so, you know, it was a weird situation. What do you do? I'm supposed to cut down the Christmas tree and hold somebody and hold a rusted out handsaw, you know? And so, you know, we scooped each kid up in our arms, and we tried to go find the Christmas tree, but it was difficult, you know? It was one of those things where it's like, how are we supposed to do all this? Nobody wanted to be there. It was miserable. And in that moment, I just looked at Mandy like, can we go? Can we, like, just press reset and go to Lowe's and do it the easy way, you know? Like, the kids can stay asleep, and everybody's happy. But, you know, here we are trying to balance one kid in one hand, a rusted saw, trying not to saw somebody in half with the other while everybody's screaming bloody murder because it's Christmas, right? And so, you know, this is really the thing. We wanted this perfect Christmas memory, this peaceful Christmas experience. But yet what we got, for me, is one of the most chaotic Christmas experiences of my life. By the way, we didn't end up getting a tree at the Christmas farm that day. We couldn't make it to do that. But anyway, but maybe you can relate to this tension. Maybe you can relate to that stress in the Christmas season, because the truth is we all experience these moments where we want to have that kind of peace that God came to bring. We want to experience what the angel said on the first Christmas, that, "Behold, I come to bring you peace on earth, goodwill to men." And you're like, well, that's not what my Christmas feels like so far, you know? And so the question I want us to look at is, during this busy season with decorating and present wrapping and present buying and parties to go to, you know, we end up running into stressful, chaotic situations that, if we're not careful, can rob us of the peace Jesus came to bring. So here's the question. Is it possible for us to find a peace? To find a peace that can pierce through the chaotic circumstances that are in front of us? Is it possible to find a peace that's real and lasting, that doesn't fade like so many peace things that happen in the world? Is it possible that we can find a peace that's not dependent on what we're going through and what is surrounding us? And so I want us to take a closer look at the Christmas story today. Because I find comfort in the fact that Christmas was chaotic for Mary and Joseph too. It probably felt like they're standing out alone in a field with a handsaw in their hand, you know? Because Mary and Joseph, they were wrestling with a whole lot of things, tension, chaos. In fact, you probably felt that tension as Hartley was singing that song from Mary's perspective, putting ourselves in her shoes, what she was feeling in that moment. Because here she is, Mary. She's being called by God to do something that's way beyond anybody's capacity. And she's reaching out for God, saying, "God, I need you. God, help me. Make me brave. Sustain me through what you're calling me to do," right? And so it was stressful. Mary and Joseph, they had these gut-wrenching decisions that had to be made on the first Christmas. And so the chaos of Christmas was not exactly the setting that you would expect to experience any peace. And yet, they did. So I want to look at that today, and how did they find that peace? And so let's check out the Christmas story. We're going to look at Joseph's perspective today, because Joseph, Mary's kind of the featured woman, right? But Joseph, we don't know a lot about him, but I want to check out his perspective today. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 18. If you have your Bibles or device, you can follow along, but the words are going to be here. It says this: "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together," important, right? "Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law," faithful to God's law, "and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." So we don't know a lot about Joseph, but if we can kind of put ourselves in his shoes, what we know is that Joseph was standing in the middle of a tension, standing in the middle of a decision, a lot of decisions that he had to make. And really the tension that I think he was standing between was this tension between righteous and responsible. He's standing between doing the righteous thing and doing the responsible thing. You know, the thing is, from the time Mary and Joseph were little, their marriage would have been arranged by their parents, probably, in this culture. I hope that doesn't steal your Disney view of the Christmas story, but just imagine if you've got a son or daughter telling them when they're 5 years old, "Hey, honey, we've already picked out your spouse, and he's beautiful, or she's gorgeous," right? Just imagine that. Like, "Thanks, Mom, you know, thanks for picking out my spouse," right? But money would have been exchanged. Property would have been exchanged, probably. Maybe livestock would have been exchanged. This is kind of like an all-in. We're merging our families together. And there would have been discussions about how Joseph would have provided for Mary someday. But that you got to know that an engagement in the first century was very different than an engagement today. It's not like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, where they just said, oh, well, maybe she's pretty, and maybe I could see myself marrying her, and you put a ring on the finger, and you just say, well, maybe we'll get married someday. No, no, no. An engagement in the first century was pretty much a marriage. It was literally a legal and binding agreement between both families and both parties. And so essentially, you're essentially saying I do the moment you get engaged in a lot of ways. And so just put yourself in Joseph's shoes. What do you mean you're pregnant? What do you mean it's not my baby, I know that, right? Just put yourself in that situation. It looks like to Joseph that Mary has broken her agreement. It looks like everything that he had known, that this woman's going to be my wife, that she has been unfaithful to the covenant, she'd been unfaithful to the agreement, his life as he knew it and what had been planned for him and what he envisioned from God was essentially in shambles. And so in Joseph's mind, there's this battle going on, between being faithful to God on the one hand and being faithful to Mary. There's this tension, almost like you could picture this like tug of war, between being righteous, doing the righteous thing, and on the other hand, being responsible. Because the thing is, the righteous part of it is, think about this. If Mary is lying, right? If she's lying about this whole thing and she had an extracurricular relationship, we'll just put it like that, right? Then that means it's adultery, it's a sin, right? It's this, and so for him, that would put his righteous character, you know, that would call into question his righteous character and his reputation. But on the other hand, this other tug of war is if Mary's telling the truth and the Holy Spirit somehow made all this happen and all of a sudden it's God's baby, then that also makes Joseph responsible. It makes him responsible to not only care for Mary, but to also take on, to essentially adopt, to be the father of the baby that's going to come into the world. So this tug of war is going on. And so here Joseph is, he's looking for something or someone to bridge that gap. Now here's the thing. I think we all deal with tensions like that in our lives, don't we? We all deal with certain tensions, maybe not righteous and responsible, but we deal with tensions in our relational lives a lot of times. To do the right thing, to not, to be with that person, to be around that person, or to not, right? And in those relationships in our lives, those tensions are heightened a lot of times during the holiday season, amen? They can be heightened, right? There's more pressure. In fact, this same tensions happen when it comes to our finances, especially in the Christmas season. You know this. That's why you went Black Friday shopping, because there's this tension between how much should we spend, what should we save, what should we give, and everybody is pulling you in different directions, commercials, and you just feel a call by God, you know. And at the same time, we feel these tensions between making decisions for the present and making decisions that will impact the future. And sometimes those are in opposition of each other. And so the other tension that I think we wrestle with is this tension between calm and chaos. Calm and chaos. Now you got to know this tension, I didn't say peace and chaos, because calm and peace are not the same thing. They're not. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But think about this. In Joseph's mind, he's clear about who God is. That's the calm part. He's clear about who God is calling him to be. That's the calm part. I'm settled on that, God, right? But on the other hand, Joseph has this chaos. Mary's pregnant. He's engaged to be married to her. It's not his baby. What do we do? And if this is true, how in the world am I going to be the adopted father of the Son of God? Like, what do you do to teach God, you know? And so that's the chaos part. So this calm and chaos. And so in the middle of this decision, Joseph's got a decision of, you know, what do I do? Do I stay with Mary or do I leave the chaos of this moment, right? And the thing that happens in our lives when we face chaos, when you are up against the wall, oftentimes what happens is it's easy to make bad decisions that we'll later regret. You know that. Maybe you've been in a situation recently where you're just pushed against the wall. And in those moments, we sometimes say things we wouldn't normally say. We think things that we wouldn't normally think, and we oftentimes do things we wouldn't normally do when we're pushed up against the wall. And so here Joseph is. How did he respond to tension between calm and chaos? How did he respond to that? Well, He slept on it, literally. In fact, he didn't want to say something that he would later regret, and so he literally took a nap. In fact, here's what happens when he woke up from his nap in verse 20. Here's what it says. It says, "But after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." See, he'd been sleeping. "And said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" In other words, Mary's not lying. It says this. It says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." It says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." It said, "The virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means, let's say this together, "God with us." Emmanuel, God with us. He will be with us, God in the flesh. And so here Joseph is. It's interesting that the message that the angel communicated to Joseph is the exact same message that the angel communicated to Mary last week. It's the same message that the shepherds are going to get when they get this crazy invitation to go see the Son of God after he's born. The message Joseph gets is this: in the middle of the chaos, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This is a moment where you raise your hand like, I think I should be afraid, right? This is a chaotic moment, right? Why should I not be afraid? It's because of this truth, because God is with you. Because God is with you. See, if you want to find peace in your life, we're going to look at two ways that we find peace, that we discover this lasting peace. The first way that we find peace is this reality. We discover peace when we are near to God, when we're close to God, when we're connected to God. Peace comes through your connection to God. And so when you're close to God, you discover peace. And so we have nothing to fear when we know that God is with us. And so for Joseph, the angel's like, do not be afraid to step into the chaos of this moment, to step into the chaos of this situation, because, hello, God is about to work in the middle of that, and you're going to get to be a part of it. God's stepping into our chaos to impart his peace. See, a lot of times we think that peace is the absence of chaos. You know, a lot of times we think that peace is kind of like, just avoid chaos if I want to have peace. And so we kind of think, okay, I want peace right now, and so I'm going to run away from anything that looks chaotic. Anybody relate to that? You know, that means I want to kind of stay away, avoid anyone or anything that is maybe a little bit challenging. Stay away from anything or anyone that's difficult. And so that means I just need to get away from difficult people, right? Stay away that person in my office that comes to my desk every single day, right? You're chaos, right? Or maybe it means that we avoid those challenging opportunities, because that would mean more, that would mean chaos, and so maybe not peace. Or maybe it means don't make that risky decision in your life to follow God in greater ways. But the truth is, peace is not the absence of chaos. It's not the same thing. Peace is not the absence of chaos. In other words, let me explain it like this. In our refresh groups, I use this tool sometimes when we do prayer requests. If you've been a part of one of our groups before, sometimes we'll do this. It's kind of fun, where we measure our level of peace and we'll measure our level of chaos. And let me just kind of show you how peace is not the absence of chaos. In fact, let's just do it right here. The way we do it is we say, on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, let me ask you in your seats, what is your level of chaos right now? Now, you don't have to say it out loud, but just think of your number, scale from 1 to 10. Is it a 1? Is it a 5? Is it a 10? Where's your level of chaos? You got your number in mind? It's arbitrary. You don't have to, it's not right or wrong, right? It's for you. All right, now let me ask you this other question. What is your level of peace right now? What is your level of peace right now on a scale from 1 to 10? You see, what happens is sometimes your peace level and your chaos level are congruent, but sometimes they're in completely different places. And what we find a lot of times in our groups is that because peace is not the absence of chaos, you might have zero chaos right now. And if that's you, let's talk. I'd love to get you involved in something, right? You need to step out a little bit. You might be on a beach in Maui, you know, no cell phone, nobody around you. You got all the money in the world, and you got no chaos. But at the same time, interestingly enough, although you might have zero chaos, you also can be in a situation where you have zero peace. because you might still be wrestling with being at peace with God, being at peace with others, or having this internal peace. But on the other hand, what happens a lot of times for followers of Christ is that you might be in one of the most stressful, chaotic situations in your life. Maybe you're a 10 right now or a 9, and yet in the middle of that, maybe there is this calm, there is this peace about you that you have that surpasses all understanding because you know that God is with you. This is what happens because peace is not the absence of chaos. The truth is, Jesus didn't come to take away your chaos. He didn't come to just give you the easy button to make your life easy, right? Jesus came to give you peace in the middle of your chaos. And so Joseph, you know, he's just heard this message that through this dream and through this angel that, hello, Mary's telling the truth. And so he hears from God, Joseph, it's going to be okay because God is with you. You can step into the chaos. In other words, because Joseph, if you're obedient to God in this moment, if you step up and you're obedient to God, that you will actually be a player in paving the pathway for the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who is Emmanuel, who came to be with us. Do not be afraid, Joseph, because God is with you. And so here's how the story continues, verse 24. It says, when Joseph woke up, imagine that dream, right? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. It says, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus, which means God saves. God saves. You know, let's go back to that graphic of calm and chaos, because let me illustrate this for you, calm and chaos. So this is the tension. This is the battle that Joseph is dealing with. And when Joseph faces this tug of war between running into the calm and running into the chaos, here's how he responds. Let's insert our word, obedience, right? This is what he did. He was obedient to God. He was obedient to follow what God wanted him to do. Joseph decides to obey and believe, right? And what happens is, don't miss this, there's still chaos in his life, but he still obeys, right? Mary's still pregnant. It's still, he's going to have to be the adopted father, right? They're still going to have to figure out how to raise the Son of God, but yet in the middle of the chaos, Joseph chooses to obey. And I think this is a word for many of us today, that maybe you're in the middle of a season of chaos, and maybe it's so much easier to run away from that and to kind of disobey what God might be calling you to do. But I want you to know that peace comes not only when you're connected to God, but peace comes through obedience, when you obey God. When you obey God. So let's just to kind of play devil's advocate here, right? Let's show you the other side. Let's say he disobeyed God. Let's say Joseph, in the middle of peace and chaos, he just disobeyed God. He ran from the mess. Here's what would happen. I mean, you know what would happen. Many of us know really well because we're experts in this category, disobeying God, right? Maybe it's been our story. Students, you know this. What happens when you choose not to gossip? When you choose not to post on social media something bad about somebody else? When you choose to not have a drink at that party, although everybody else is doing it? I mean, adults, you can answer that question because we've been there before, right? What happens in that moment is your calm level, when you obey God, your calm level will go up and your chaos level will go down all the time. And for adults, it's the same thing. When you choose to be obedient to God with your finances, when you choose to follow God's pathway instead of running after all the other dead wells that everybody else runs after in the world, when you choose that in your relationships that you're going to be a presence, you're going to be a person who is kind to your family and to people in your office, what happens? Your calm level goes up and your chaos level goes down every time. And so here's the thing, in the field of psychology, there's this interesting tool that they use to measure stress, and it's called a life change units, LCU. And life change units, they assign a different numeric value for stressful situations so that they can kind of put a number to it. And if your stressful situation, your LCU, gets above 300, a psychologist knows, whoa, you're headed for a breakdown. A mental, emotional breakdown. 300 is really high or more. And so here's kind of what it looks like. There's a lot of different categories, but you can take this on your own. But here's some examples. The death of a spouse, 100 points, you know, feels like a game. Divorce, 73 points. Illness or injury, you get 53 points. A job loss, 44 points. And major holiday, this is funny to me, everybody can give yourself 12 points. Way to go, you know, 12 points of stress in your life because we're all in the Christmas season right now. So you add all these things up, and there's a lot of other ones, and remember, 300 is like, whoa, off the charts, you're headed toward an emotional breakdown. And so this week I decided, we don't know a lot about Joseph, but I decided to take the inventory for him based on kind of his life, what we know. And as I took the test, it was really interesting to find out that his number was anywhere between 350 and 475. Now, if 300 is an emotional breakdown, where's Joseph? There is so much chaos in his life. And in this moment, he should be breaking down personally, him and Mary. Oh, what do I do? And where do I go? And who do I reach out to? But in that season, Joseph experienced this peace and this willingness to say, you know what, God, in the middle of this chaos, I'm still going to be obedient to you. And so why did he have peace? I think it's verse 24 tells us. Here's what verse 24 says. Let's look at it again. It says, Joseph did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. This is why he had peace. Joseph did. He obeyed. He obeyed God. And that when you obey God, you will always experience peace. And so here's the bottom line I want to share with you. The first thing is that peace comes through your connection to God. The second thing, the bottom line is this. Personal obedience leads to personal peace. Personal obedience in your life will always lead to a personal peace. Now, it doesn't mean that once you are obedient to God that it's going to be smooth sailing and everything's good, no stress in your life. But man, when you are following in the pathway of God, even if you're dealing with chaotic situations, you know who you are and you know you are walking in step with a God who is above all things and in all things. And so I think the bigger question, though, that I was asking myself is, how was Joseph obedient? How was he able to be obedient? Why was he able to be obedient in the middle of this chaos? And I think it's because Joseph knew God. He obeyed God because he knew God. And I think specifically, he knew that God is two things, that God is transcendent and God is also immanent. So let's talk about the first thing first. Here's what I think Joseph knew about God. Maybe not this term, but he knew this. When I say God is transcendent, it simply means that God is beyond us. God is beyond us. In other words, God is outside the confines of time and space. He is not bound by time and space because he created it, right? He is beyond that. He's more powerful than that. He is stronger than anything in this world because he created the world. And yet at the same time, so that's the God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. That's that part. But then the other side of it is at the same time, God is also imminent. Imminent. And the word imminent simply means that God is with us. So he's transcendent, and because God is outside of time, here's the cool thing. God chose to step into time and space in Bethlehem, to step into our lives, and he does all the time through the Holy Spirit in order to be with you, in order to be with me. God is big and powerful and strong. He's beyond us, and yet at the same time, he's with us. And I came to tell somebody here today that God is the same today as he was back then. That God, no matter what stress and chaos you might be going through, that your God is transcendent. He is beyond all of that. He is above all that. He is stronger than all that. And at the same time, God can give you strength because he's imminent. He's imminently with you. He is God with you in the middle of your chaos. And so if you want to have peace, I want to encourage you that what oftentimes happens when we don't have peace is it's not that we distance ourselves from the chaos. What it means is in those moments, it may be that I have to cling even closer to the power of my God. Cling even closer to the presence of God in this moment because peace comes when you're connected to God. But at the same time, peace also comes when you're obedient to God. I want you to check out the last thing we're going to read from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Here's what Isaiah said about Jesus and about peace 700 years before the Christmas story. Talk about how God is transcendent. He wrote this 700 years before Christmas. Here's what it says. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, and here's my favorite, Prince of Peace. I want you to know that Jesus came to be your Prince of Peace. He wants to be your source for peace. But that peace only comes when you're connected to God. It comes when we experience peace, when we obey, when we trust and we believe in this God who not only was laid in a manger in Bethlehem, but he also grew up. He died on a cross for your sins and mine. And he rose from the grave so that we could have life. And so the question for us, two questions is this. God is with us, but are we with God? Where are we with God? Will we draw close to God in this season to experience that peace? And the second question is this. Will you obey? Will you trust? And will you believe in greater ways in Jesus in this Christmas season? Let's pray. Our God, we thank you so much for the life that you came to give us. And I thank you, God, that you are a God who came to bring us peace. Peace in our relationship with you, peace in our relationship with others, and to give us this internal peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray right now for that person in here today who is just wrapped up in so much chaos in their relational world or financial world, their spiritual life, wherever it is, God. I just pray over that. And I pray that you would empower us to draw close to you in this season. To discover that peace comes through our connection to you, and peace comes when we obey you. So God, give us today the courage and the faith to believe, to obey, and to trust you, to walk forward with you, to experience what you want to do in and through our lives. God, we know that you make us brave when we're connected to you, and so Jesus, pour your spirit upon us and give us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.